year, next year we won't. Mm-hmm. And the difficulty with our budget cuts and with the way the budgets have been managed, from this is my perspective, it's not the universe, it's my perspective, is it hasn't been clear what metrics are used to make budget decisions. This is starting to change. And part of this in the defense of the university is they've been so busy trying to keep up with the growth and trying to keep the processes in place for a growing university. They really haven't had time to look at some other things. So because we're a business school, we've always used metrics and we've always looked at costs and revenues and we've always given that information to the administration.
So, looking at the university and administration specifically, there's been a lot of turnover and transition within our administration. So, as the new folks are transitioning in, how are we poising our priorities with the challenges that you have to make sure that we're moving forward?
I'm not sure I understand that, but...
How are we getting our point across? You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like our priorities?
Hmm.
And to make sure that
we keep
moving.
How are we making sure our voice is there? I meet with a couple of ways. I meet one-on-one with the provost, and I always give her a list of the things we're doing. And almost every single thing we do, we back it up with data. I have an advisory board of business people. And in my first 6 months here, with the help of Paul, we put the budget together. We got to look at what we were doing in terms of enrollment, budgets, things like that. I gave it. I said, okay, here's what I'm learning. And I gave it to the entire advisory board. Their comment to me was they'd never seen this before. And I looked at them and I said, but if you haven't seen this, how can you advise me very well? You can't advise me if you don't know. And so I'm very transparent with them, and I say, here are my problems, here are our constraints, here's why. My biggest challenge with that is they wanted to go talk to the president. And I said, no, not yet. Will you tell us when? I said, yes, I will tell you when. But if I keep everything to myself, and I think when you talk to the faculty, and especially when you talk to the chairs of my leadership team, they will tell you that they know what's going on, that I don't keep things a secret. Because it doesn't help us. If I keep things a secret, because then you can't help, and you don't know why I'm asking you to do something. I think everyone, if they're paying attention in this college, knows exactly why I'm asking people to do what they do. Because I repeat it over and over and over. This is not my college. This is our college. And we all have to work together to make it work, and you can't do that in the dark. Now, you may not like it, but at least you know, and that way you can make a decision of whether you want to stay or not. That's your decision. But we're going to have to continue to move forward. We're going to continue to change. What we do is going to continue to change, and I can't predict how or when it'll happen. But I know that change is the one constant we will have, at least as long as I'm here.
I have two questions. The first one, do you anticipate, I talked about the centers, mostly traditionally they're comp centers. Is there going to be like a push or a need to move into more profit or revenue generating centers?
Let me answer that, then you can ask a second.
Sure.
So I'm really hopeful that with the new president there will be incentives for us to increase revenues with the result that we get to keep some of them. We still have to cover all of our costs, but right now everything goes to the university and then we get a budget. There's no incentive for us to build extra programs, for us to add more badges, because that money all goes back to the university. And Dana asked how our voice is going to be heard from the very beginning. When I talked about new programs with the provost. Well, that's a good idea. I said, well, let's talk about the budget. And I talked about maybe keeping some of the money, and she'd say no. And I said, then why should I do it? because it's a good idea. I said, I know, but we're already really busy. Why add something else to it? And I do that because I see my role here. I have been at three other universities. I've seen three other budget models. I see the ones that work and the ones that don't. Most of the people here have never been anywhere else. That outside perspective is really important to change and to moving forward in the future. And so I see it as part of my responsibility to do that. One day I might get fired for it, but it's why I'm here. I came and I took this job because I saw the potential. I saw a good business school and I saw what it could become. And that's what I continue to push for. Second question.
The second question, do you see a role for the centers to be involved in the non-traditional or continuing education opportunities?
Absolutely. I see a badge in entrepreneurship. I see a badge in international. Absolutely. We're already starting to work with the SBDC on M&A stuff. I think that's what it is, right? M&A. I'm continually looking for opportunities where we can do that. Right now, we don't have a budget model to do it. So I think don't waste your time because it doesn't help us.
To piggyback on the badges, how long did it take for that first badge to work through the process, thinking it will get shorter and streamlined over time?
Well, it took us 6 to 8 months to get it through, just to get the process in place.
Yeah, about that.
And now it should take a couple months to get through the process. It's because it's not a degree, so it doesn't have the same curricular criteria. It's a matter of making sure that the university knows what we're doing and that it fits the university model. So it should be pretty quick, and we could do something really pretty easily, but not yet.
Let's have the money first and then
start putting the curriculum together, but we wouldn't launch it until we had a better budget model.
Okay.
The other thing is that a badge doesn't have to be for credit.
No, badges don't have to be for credit, and many people would prefer them not to be for credit. They're less expensive, and they don't want degrees. And what the business community tells us is, we don't want everybody to have a master's degree. We don't want everyone to have that, but we want them to have this training. And as we talk to people in the community, there are more and more areas that they would like to have this retraining. They're relatively small. It can be the equivalent number of hours of a 3-credit or 2-credit course. Or it can be a lot longer than that. Or we can stack them to make them sequential. And there are new software systems that track all of this. So badges do not go on your transcripts. The courses will go if it's a credit-based badge. But there are new systems that track all of these extra badges. Remember all these millennials and all those trophies they get?
So why badges?
Because historically, this was under Obama, I think it was under Obama, that certificates started to come under a lot of scrutiny because there were so many different certifications. Some were very strongly structured, like CPA or other kinds of certifications like that, and others really had no quality. And so they started to put pressure on our accrediting bodies like HLC to rein in the certificates. So everybody just went away from the name certificate. It was because there was more red tape to use the term certificate. Money?
Will there be a badge related to entrepreneurship and specifically like the state's skilled trades push? So somebody going into plumbing or electrical, and if they want to start their own business, they might have the electrical skills, but not the business skills.
That's interesting. We could probably do something like that. I would guess that might be something a 2-year school would add on top of the skill training that they get. Or a general business startup, anybody would be able to do that, I think.
A week and a half ago, or 2 weeks ago, there was an MLive article that Aquinas and Western Michigan partnered to fast track their recent undergrads to get a graduate degree with them.
Mm-hmm.
And with your statistic of 50% bankruptcy among colleges, do you think this will become more common?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think this is something that we can do?
I think it will become more common. Is it something we could do? Probably yes. Is it something I would want to do right now? Probably no. Because one of the things that we did with our graduate programs, other than the MSA goes from undergrad right to grad, so they're undergraduate students staying for a fifth year. We have made a very intentional decision that all of our MBA students have to have at least 3 years of work experience. We don't want the students coming from undergrad going straight into a master's degree. That's a different kind of teaching than someone who's been out working for at least 3 years, and what the learning you get from that work experience is far greater. We may end up having to go there at some point. At this point, we aren't expanding our graduate programs because we don't have the faculty to expand the graduate programs. It takes a different kind of a faculty who's trained differently to teach graduate students, MBA, and especially our executive MBAs, and most of our faculty, because of who we are undergraduate faculty. You teach undergraduates differently than you teach graduates. So at this point, my answer would be no, it's not something that would be a priority down the road, especially if there's something specialized that we do, like maybe SAP. We might do a master's in SAP or something like that.
How do we get ready for Philly? What do you anticipate our next?
I think have all your data. She has been asking for data. She wants to know how many of this, how many of that. She wants to know trends. We need to have the answers. We need to be able to provide those answers before she asks them. We need to know historical data so we have trends of what's happening. And we're going to need to be able to answer the questions that she has. Not with, I'll get back to you about that, but here's what the data is. We've been pretty good at that because we use data. When we have a request, we back it up with data. And so we've gotten into the habit of making sure we have the data that we think is important. Will she ask us for something we don't have? Probably. But we'll have a lot of other data already available. Karen?
So to piggyback on Kalita's question, is it a fair assumption to make that our Board of Trustees chose Philly because she has a non-traditional background, and that's maybe telegraphing where they want Grand Valley to go or see a gap in what
yes.
we offer? Okay.
It was intentional. It was deliberate. Listening to the board, knowing the board, some of the board members, they understand it's time for Grand Valley to change. We need to change or we're not going to be sustainable. And they were looking for someone who could lead that change, and Philly is the person that can do it.
So one last question on that. Many presidents, university presidents, are very externally oriented in their work. That would suggest a need for her to be that much more internally focused to try to redirect where this ship is pointed. Do you see room for her to be more internally oriented in terms of setting a vision and helping to make sure that her leadership team is part of that and is setting a course before she turns her attention outside?
So I will. I don't know that I should speculate. Maybe I will. But I will answer them more generally. Whenever a new leader comes into an organization, they have to assess the wellness of their internal organization as well as what they need to do externally. If the internal organization is not functioning as it needs to be, is not organized as it needs to be for the growth that the leader sees as the vision moving forward, that person has to spend their time internally or it's not going to get better. I'm guessing she's going to have to balance both of them to make that happen. I'm guessing she will realize she has to spend some time internally. You can say the same about business deans. Most business deans are more than 50% external. I have not been, because we're not ready internally. And if we don't get the internal fixed and moving forward, it doesn't matter what I do externally, because we're not going to have the students. So is that a good, avoiding the question the right way?
Masterful. Good job.
Now is the time to ask me questions. whatever you have on your mind.
Here. So in your 5 years, you've seen how long it takes to change a process. Now thinking on the university level of Philly coming in to change these processes.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried.
I'm worried about how soon it needs to happen versus how long it takes to change a process.
I agree. I think we are. I think there's some risk that we are going to really dig our heels in. But if you look at the change literature on leading change, typically what happens is there's a third that are in favor, a third that are resistors, and a third in the middle that aren't sure. So they're just kind of sitting there waiting to figure out which direction they should go. The resistors are going to try and pull them down, but if you can engage them, they're going to move up. So it will be a matter of Philly finding that third of the people who are really ready to move. And if you look around at this college, you can see how that has worked. You see a lot of faculty now, and I have to say, I am very grateful to have the faculty that we have and to have the personnel, the staff that we have. Because whenever I go to a dean's conference and I listen to all the other deans and what they can and cannot do and how their unions or their faculty stop change, I just stop and pause and say, yes, I am thankful that I have, that we have who we do. And there are a number of faculty who have stepped up and taken the challenge of changing our curriculum. And I'm not doing this. I'm guiding them, I'm tweaking things, I'm asking questions, but it's the faculty and staff that are